I guess, you know what? I'm wondering if we should just go ahead and call this a full spoiler on episode.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Let's just, at the very beginning, just say, this is a review of spoilers, and it's all spoilers. So if you haven't seen it, then go somewhere else. Yeah.
Welcome to Sincast, presented by CinemaSins.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Sincast. This is Chris Atkinson from CinemaSins, joined as always by the voice of CinemaSins, Jeremy Scott.
Hello.
And from Music Video Sins, Barrett Sher.
Hello.
Hello. And today we have a special guest with us. He was like, if you do a Star War, I want to be there reviewing it with you. And so we have made good on this promise.
Thank you.
Dave Irwin is here.
Thanks for having me on again.
Yeah, no problem. You are the resident Star Wars expert in this room for sure, even though.
And that's not saying much.
I thought I was a big Star Wars fan growing up when, like, the original trilogy was all we had and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was soon found out that I'm not nearly what a lot of people are out there. So I just liked the movies. I didn't read the books. I didn't play the games.
Did you see that tweet going around yesterday from some nobody who was like, you're not a Star Wars fan if you've just seen the movies. Mm-hmm. Real fans have read all the books, read some comics, blah, blah, blah. And then like all these heavyweights, like industry people were just dunking on that dude all day long.
I'm telling you, I'm glad I'm not that. I'm glad I'm not in that kind of fandom. Where, especially like after all the bullshit Rian Johnson went through that. Don't like the movie, fine. But God, just to be that angry about it.
Weirdly enough, there was a trending hashtag of thank you, Rian Johnson, of like reappreciating The Last Jedi some people after they saw Rise of the Skywalker.
No, Skywalker.
I know.
Skywalker.
They've trained us. They've trained us over all these movies to slide a the in there.
I don't think I actually.
Just do it twice. The Rise of the Skywalker.
I don't think I actually announced the title of the movie beforehand, but we're doing a mini pod today.
A mini pod.
A Rise pod.
Star Wars Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker.
Risipod.
Also, what'd you say?
I said Risipod.
Risipod. And I have definitely called it Rise of the Skywalker too, even though that doesn't make any sense at all.
No.
But we are doing a mini pod of this. The movie has made $407 million domestically.
Mm-hmm.
It's made $800 million worldwide. Ooh. It's a huge bomb if you haven't been reading.
Yeah. It's like 54% on Rotten Tomatoes or something.
Yeah, yes. Because a movie isn't critically lauded doesn't mean it's a bomb.
Yes.
Everybody's watching this shit.
The audience score on Rotten Tomatoes is 86%.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't trust the audience. Ever.
Yeah.
It's just like, I love whenever I go to like a restaurant and my wife will ask the waitress, have you had this? Is it any good? I'm like, why the fuck are you going to trust that stranger?
They're going to say yes.
Who's supposed to promote this item anyway? I don't trust a fucking audience.
Yeah.
I trust the critics.
It's like when you're on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire or whatever, and the audience is 90% on the one selection. You're like, fuck that.
Yep.
I want to go with the 7%.
I absolutely would. I would.
Episode 9, this is the end of the so-called Skywalker, I guess, story.
Saga.
I guess, did it stick its landing?
Mm-hmm. You are the person that's seen this most recently, Jeremy.
Sure.
So, with this fresh in your mind, what do you think?
I'm not ready to blame the movie, but I think it's just not for me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for me, it didn't really stick the landing, because I felt like it did too much to try and retcon. Like, you'll never convince me that JJ wasn't trying to undo a lot of what Rian did in The Last Jedi, whether it comes to Rey's parents or Snoke or Palpatine out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. Like, I was kind of pissed they revealed the Palpatine thing in the trailer, but it's in the second line of the scroll at the opening of the movie. Mm-hmm. Like, the dead speak, people are hearing a transmission in the voice of Palpatine. And mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, no surprise there at all.
Yeah.
I didn't hate it. There was some stuff I liked. I didn't love it. I probably liked it overall more than The Last Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
Less than Force Awakens. I'm just bummed that they didn't have a plan. It's so obvious that they didn't sit down before Force Awakens and plot out all three movies. And I think that we've been somewhat robbed of a better experience because of them.
Mm.
Anyway.
Is this a J.J. Abrams thing to say that, or to make it seem like something is completely planned out and then obviously doesn't? I mean, Lost was that way.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, and well, in Lost, they flat out fucking said for years, no, we know exactly where this is going.
Mm-hmm.
And then later they were like, no, we didn't.
And it's like, it's funny because I think J.J. Abrams is a competent filmmaker. He's made some really Agreed. Good stuff. But like stuff like this, where there's an overarching multi-episode type of thing going on. I can't believe at the end of this that like the second movie doesn't even fucking matter.
It doesn't. It doesn't matter at all.
It doesn't make any sense anymore. Mm-mm. Like that they even made that movie.
No, I agree.
Like it makes sense to make that movie in some other Star Wars universe, but not this one.
I agree.
So I didn't get that at all. Like this movie is hamstrung by the second one.
Yes, which is why, well, that's a better articulation of what I'm trying to say when I feel like he was trying too hard to change things that Rian Johnson had done that were outside of the conventional box. Mm-hmm. You know, the cliche, I guess, criticism is that he was trying to be unconventional with all of his choices.
The past die.
Yeah, yeah. And he was, but it's very clear JJ didn't like all of that. And yeah, there's just so much in here that feels like it's trying to explain and find the last cram, the last. It's like we're completing a puzzle, but we don't have all the pieces. But we're just manipulating the puzzle to make it look like we've finished it. Anyway.
Yeah. I think about that last shot of Last Jedi. There's that lonely Oliver Twist kid at the end.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Fuck that kid.
Yeah.
He didn't fuck the broom boy.
He didn't come back and help.
He doesn't matter.
Yeah, he doesn't matter at all.
Well, and that moment distinctively says Jedi don't have to be from a particular lineage. They might be anywhere out there, force sensitivity at least, mm-hmm. right? And then this the Skywalker movie is like, no, not really. Oh, but we are going to give some to Finn, but we're not going to explain it. Anyway.
Dave, what did you think of this movie? How does it fit? Does it fit?
I've seen this movie three times.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
The first time, I really liked it because, and I think this the greatest strength of this movie is that it plays off the audience's emotions. I mm-hmm. think that's the best, that's the greatest thing that this movie has going for it. This movie is a lot. There's a lot coming at you within like the first 30 minutes, maybe even the first hour. There's just, I mean, planet hopping, exposition. So then I saw it a second time and I got some of the details. I could appreciate some of the details. Then I saw it a third time and I was like, So I don't like it as much now as I did when I saw it the first time around. I think they played it safe. You were saying JJ. I don't know if it was JJ's decision or Disney/Lucasfilm's decision to retcon The Last Jedi and do all this other stuff. To me, Last Jedi is still my favorite film, I think, out of this trilogy because of the fact that Rian, you know, went in a completely opposite direction, did new things, actually introduced morality themes into his movie, whereas this one actually really didn't do much of that. We could say that The Force Awakens was A New Hope Part 2 based on plot devices and whatnot, and you can kind of say that about The Rise of Skywalker with Return of the Jedi in mm-hmm. a certain kind
well,
of way.
Even get the Ewoks.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Spoiler.
I guess, you know what, I'm wondering if we should just go ahead and call this a full spoiler on episode.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Let's just,
sure.
at the very beginning, just say, this is a review of spoilers, and it's all spoilers, so if you haven't seen it, then go somewhere else.
Go fuck yourself.
Go fuck yourself. Go fuck yourself. So, yeah. We can just go ahead and start with that no spoilers thing right off of the bat. Yeah, I'm also, and I don't remember what you thought of Last Jedi.
Last Jedi? I like Last Jedi. I have a lot of problems with it, but I enjoy watching it.
Yeah, yeah. I gave Last Jedi a really good review. The second time I watched it, the flaws were a bit more apparent in it. But I enjoyed the idea of him saying, let's stop being so beholden to the past in this movie. Let's try to do something different. Because if Star Wars is going to grow, it's going to have to be something like it's. We're going to have to branch out. We're going to have to take some things that we think are true and like kind of make something new with it and everything. And I thought I love that. And I thought that would have been a nice way for the third one to kind of to pick up and everything. But the problem is, even after that movie made its billions of dollars and everything, there was so much backlash.
Oh, totally.
That I think people were like, we're going to have to pay. We're going to have to make sure these fans who are all pissed off get their send off.
And that's the thing that pisses me off. I feel like they played to a very small minority of these grumpy fans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they make it again. We've said this a few times, but it's easy to get on Twitter or something and see something trending and think that represents most of everybody.
Oh, yeah, but it really
doesn't. And it represents 10,000 out of 100-something million people. And it's and you get it in your head like everybody thinks this way. And it really isn't at all. So, Barrett, what did you think about this movie?
I really, 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 really like it.
Yeah?
How many times have you seen it?
Twice.
Did you take the kid both times?
No. So both of these are really... sorry. Both of these were fun for different reasons. So the first time I saw it was with Chris and Jonathan and another friend of ours in IMAX. It was my first IMAX experience ever.
Oh, baby, that's why you love it.
And it was really, really cool. I had the same problem you did, Dave, with the opening visual. It was just too much, especially on an IMAX screen. It's too much stuff going on, and I just couldn't keep up with everything.
Yeah.
Second time I saw it with my son and my wife, and I had seen it already, so things had kind of slowed down a little bit. You could pay attention to the details. I was playing off of my kids' reaction, so it was a lot of fun. This movie is fan service all over the place, and I'm down for it.
Okay.
I am fine with it. I am not looking too hard into this. I'm not looking at, intricate plot details and everything. Now, one thing that did stand out to me on the second viewing was the Leia footage, which we'll get into later on.
They said they weren't going to do that.
Yeah, I know. And watching it in the moment and the first, not knowing any how they were going to use it, it was fine.
Well, they didn't do what they didn't technically do what they said they weren't going to do.
Oh, I'm only talking about the flashback with young Luke and young Leia, where it was CGI.
Yeah, okay.
Had said they weren't going to do that. Leia,
like a Final Fantasy
character.
Yeah,
but I guess they thought. Yeah. I guess they thought as long as it's young Leia, we can do that. But
I'm sure that was it.
That
yeah.
was their whatever. Because yeah, the other stuff is just the old footage, and it's very apparent. I've only seen this movie one time, but it's very apparent that it's old footage. It reminds me. Remember when Nancy Marchand died on The Sopranos?
Yep.
Oh yeah.
And they stuck in some like random footage in a scene
of her
where
yelling. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just, what am I gonna do now? Yeah. Or whatever. And there's so many scenes in there where, somebody saying something to her, and all it is her just kind of looking at them.
Yes. Yes. Yes,
and then
calmly reacting,
and then and they find all these other little ways to make sure that we don't have the footage here, but we'll have some behind shot.
That's one of the biggest decisions this movie made that I don't understand. Mm-hmm. Is that, and I love Carrie. I realize that she's become an icon now, but I don't. I mean, she had passed before Last Jedi came out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we didn't have to do this. This was some kind of decision where Disney or JJ, somebody thought we have to have this anchor. And I don't think the character needed to be there. I don't think she added that much to it. Every scene that she was in felt weird.
Yeah. It was contextualized so much. I was having so much fun in that first viewing that I didn't notice it. Second viewing, definitely noticed it. But I had a great time the second time. I know what I signed up for. I know that it was going to be fan service. I had an idea that they were going to retcon a lot of stuff or figure out some way to explain it away in a different way, and I'm fine with that. I'm not as, you know, balls deep into this franchise to where I need
No, I just wish that, say what you will, but the prequels at least all worked together and were clearly planned out ahead of time.
Yeah.
And there's something to be said for a trilogy like that. Mm. I don't think you can even, I don't know the lore. You're the Star Wars expert. When A New Hope first came out, had he already planned Empire and Return of the Jedi?
No.
That's what I thought.
No.
Yeah, even though he said he did.
He said he did, but Lawrence Kasdan and Lee Brackett, that was out of their own imagination.
Okay. Well, then, you can do it both ways, I guess, and have success. But the retconning of what Ryan did is really what makes this feel like a mess, a disjointed trilogy. I don't really even know.
No, you're right that the second movie cannot exist, and it you could basically watch just the first and the third and have a cohesive story.
When Dominic from Lost goes, "Hey, why don't we just do a Holdo maneuver?" and Finn's like, "That's a 1 in a million shot," and shoots it down completely. And I felt like that was JJ going, "No, that's a stupid maneuver that I would never have written into my script."
Is it Dominic from Lost?
Dominic Monaghan.
I'm sorry, I just thought that was funny.
Him and Greg Grunberg also stood out like sore thumbs to me in this movie just because of their JJ connections.
Yeah.
And even, that was Carrie Russell, was the girl.
Yeah.
That was a thing that I had a hard time now just watching it the one time. I had a hard time with all the planet hopping, all the different plot things and everything. There's this secret planet where all the Sith train and everything, and then there's like all these clues that lead to that planet. And
you've got to find this wayfinder. Yeah. Only two of them have been made.
Right.
It's made out of unobtainium.
Yeah. It's really, might as well, right? I mean, I was sitting there going, all right, so some guy left a ship in the desert and they have to like find this thing and they gotta go across the water and find this. Who the fuck does this?
So annoyed when they get to the desert planet and they go down into the quicksand and they find the dagger. It's like the magic alt key dagger.
Right.
And if they hadn't, what if they walked 5 feet to the left and hadn't fallen into the quicksand?
Right. Exactly.
I don't understand.
Yeah. It felt like when I watched Star Wars, the original trilogy, like Maybe I had questions as to why they ended up at a certain spot or whatever, but it was easily like, oh, okay, well, they were doing this, so therefore they're here now. But this one, I'm like, either it's because I couldn't hear certain things, it's possible. Mm. I'm almost entirely relying on subtitles to give me a true grasp of a story anymore, because certain details, they just throw it through all this mess of noise a lot of times. Mm-hmm. You're just like, I don't even understand what they're doing here, but it could be something like that. But I was sitting there just going, wait a minute, why is this a scavenger hunt?
Yeah.
Am I right? They were basically scavenger
and then
hunting.
She pulls something out of the dagger, like this measuring thing, and like points it at the Death Star. Oh, we've got to go there, you know?
Yeah.
She's in the exact position.
In the exact position. It's like, okay, what if you're on the other side of the...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just didn't get that, and I'm sure there are people out there who've seen it 10 times.
Star Wars meets Indiana Jones.
Yeah, they know. They know it's because this and this. It makes sense. Don't worry about it. but I didn't get it. Now, ultimately, I left this movie. You know, I thought that was a good time.
Mm-hmm.
I could have expected more, but I really wasn't expecting more. So I think I ended up coming out going, yeah, met expectations.
I seriously was expecting, like, when Poe is, like, despairing, like, I failed you guys, I'm so sorry. I seriously expected to hear, on your left.
Yeah.
instead of Lando going, well, we have more ships than they do. Yeah. And it was, that's like the most ex machina of all ex machinas, like.
Well, it makes sense. It makes sense in that context of Star Wars that, like, when all hope is gone because they're
why haven't
on the
they
hope,
asked all these motherfuckers for help in any of the other 8 movies?
They didn't respond.
Nobody why didn't responded. They respond until this time?
Because now they're starting
faces
to
and dildos.
They only have hope now. They've already destroyed 2 Death Stars. Yes. The people don't have hope before then.
No. That was the whole thing, is that, like, we keep going just in case, like, you know, to give people hope.
He said they'll come if we lead them.
Correct.
What have they been doing during the Death Star battles?
That's what Carrie Russell's character explains to him. She's like, keep doing this because there are people like me out there. Am I wrong about this?
I haven't been pushed over the edge far enough?
Is that what she's
meaning
saying?
That you keep at it and people will come, and they eventually did. Now the fact that they came at the same moment.
People are all dicks from all the
yes,
other battles.
They're all
where
fucking
they
dildos
help out.
And assholes. And
where were you during the Battle of Crate? Goddamn.
Yeah, exactly. But it is devalued a little bit because it is so much like the end game.
It really is.
It's so much like that. Ew. But it was still like a nice chill inducing moment for me.
Speaking of Poe. I mean, Rian Johnson in The Last Jedi did a great job with one of his themes was of toxic masculinity.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Poe's basically an asshole during that whole movie. And he kind of gets taught a lesson. And a lot of people think it's a feminist thing. I don't think it was a feminist thing because they kind of still forgive him at the end of that movie.
Mm-hmm.
We still think you're a good guy. You just need to learn that, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then The Rise of Skywalker, he's a fucking hot-headed asshole again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he didn't learn anything.
Mm-hmm. And she names him General before she dies.
Exactly.
I, you know what? I agree about the toxic masculinity part, but did they have to not tell him what they were up to the whole time?
Well, I mean, they're not beholden to him. They're his superiors.
True,
you know?
But is there a reason other than we're superior and you're not?
I don't know. There had to
that
was
the part that bothered me about that movie more than anything in this world was that, sure.
Probably because he got their entire bombing fleet destroyed, and we're not going to tell this guy anything. He'll do, you know.
It could be. It could be that. But I'm sitting there like going, like, you see that he's a rogue. He's a guy who will go away from your orders a lot. Like, wouldn't it be nice to kind of like inform him a little bit of what's going on instead of just keeping him in the dark?
But
so
again,
that he doesn't go to the casino
but
planet.
But again, just like the military,
and
nobody,
ruin
nobody,
this movie.
Nobody's beholden to their, you know, inferiors. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I agree. I mean, I agree he was being an asshole, but I was like, I think most chain of command, like, this guy would know kind of what's going on here, and he wouldn't be left in the dark on purpose.
Yeah.
They were just like, oh, you're just a dick. Fuck you. We're not going to tell you anything. Fuck you. Like, if he's that irresponsible, then don't have him be in the thing at all.
Okay, so I have one question I think I'm wrong about, but I'm hoping you guys who've seen it multiple times can clarify. Because they say you have to go to the Endor system. And that's where they find the water planet with the Death Star that's crashed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming this is the Return of the Jedi Death Star, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
The second one. Then she gets in a ship and follows the Wayfinder, zoops up, zoops up, zoops up, zoops up, gets to Sith land.
Mm-hmm.
No. She goes to Luke's planet first.
She does, but then she goes to zip, 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 back to Sith land, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then all the Star Destroyers, the on your left, big battle, and then we cut to Ewoks seeing Star Destroyers in the sky falling. And I don't understand, because the Ewoks live on the moon in Endor.
I
actually didn't get this either.
Oh,
there,
I never thought about that.
There was a ton of like wreckage
things. And then the
things.
Cloud City, they saw it too.
Yeah.
There's a ton of like wreckage things I don't get. Like, why does necessarily the wreckage go to this one planet at all? Like, you know, why is, you know, I know that at the end of Return of the Jedi, you can see they could see the Death Star exploding and everything. Did that mean they had to run for cover when it came down into the planet?
Yeah, they're all partying. They're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Theoretically, they were on the moon with the Ewoks. That wasn't even the planet.
Right.
So the planet has probably had bigger gravity. I just was really confused that the Ewoks were in there because I thought we'd already left the Endor system.
Well, here's one thing that could explain that is that those weren't actually like Sith Star Destroyers. They may have been First Order Star Destroyers.
And were they all dying like Independence Day alien ships?
I think so.
Like, they're all
connected.
That's
fucked up.
It is fucked up.
What the hell, man?
I know that the Sith Star Destroyers were connected, but I didn't think they were, I guess, everybody all linked up in the same system.
Yeah, maybe they got on the same Wi-Fi. Because
if that was the thing, why wasn't the plan all along to just blow one up and let the others domino? Instead, they go all around shooting all the cannons for the whole climax.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Blow up the mothership and all the other ones die. Right?
I agree.
I don't think I'm crazy.
No, I don't think you're crazy.
I enjoyed some things. I want to say something positive before I'm a Grinch.
All right.
I like that little mechanic alien.
Oh,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. He was
the guy who goes, ah! Because he does it after, like, 3PO's eyes go red and he says that thing and that's all that. It's super ominous. And then there's this pause and he goes, ha!
I
laughed both times that he was on screen.
No, he was great. I enjoyed the little I guess force exchange of the lightsaber between Rey and Kylo when Kylo was coming in.
You know, I don't understand that, but I thought that was very cool visually.
If there's anything that got that stuck throughout all three of the movies is their connection. Yep. I don't understand it either. But
like when they're fighting and they're in two separate places and she's sabers and then like the berry basket he's next to falls out and then the berries are all over the floor in the room she's in. That shit was cool.
Yeah.
Even though I don't understand how.
He grabs her necklace. And,
yeah. That was awesome visually.
Yeah. There's like some, I guess because there is, I don't know, because, and this doesn't explain it, but she's got Palpatine blood and, and he's got, you know, Skywalker blood and somehow there's this big connection between them somehow. Mm-hmm. I don't know that it's nothing that had ever been explored in Star Wars before was this whole, like, cause there's a point where she's like destroying stuff. And he's like, oh, I know where she is because he can see pieces of the thing that she's shattering like in front of him. And we and it's not a vision. It's the actual stuff that's just crumbling in front of him.
They can transport from location to location.
Yeah.
Like the necklace and the berries
and the lightsaber.
The Darth Vader mask.
Right, right. So that's just something that the movie has, this trilogy of movies has basically just said, accept it. Just deal with it. Like, and I'm fine with that, but it is weird that, you know, they never really delved into why there's this big connection, really.
Right.
Hey, I got
like the force healing
thing. I got a question though. If Luke can physically grab the lightsaber when she throws it into the burning tree thing, why doesn't he just come help her fight?
Mm-hmm. What was this now?
She goes back to Luke's planet and she tries to throw the lightsaber into the burning Jedi tree.
Yeah.
And a hand catches it. And it's Luke. And I feel like this was also JJ or Disney giving the finger to Luke tossing the saber away at the beginning of Last Jedi. But he's physically interacting now with the world as a Force ghost. Palpatine's back. Come on, Luke. Let's go. Strap up.
Yeah.
Let's fight. What the fuck?
Right.
What the fuck are two dozen voices at the end if Luke can send himself across the galaxy in one movie and die and physically grab a lightsaber? Come on, Luke.
Yeah.
Bring it on.
I know. I agree. I was sitting there thinking the same thing. It's like, maybe there's only so much you can do when you're dead. Maybe you can just show up and say a couple of things and then
like, that's it.
I really don't have very many positive things to say, I guess. I did like how this movie and even the last movie some. I did enjoy seeing them using the Force push during lightsaber battles.
Yeah.
Because in the old trilogy, you know, Vader had some of the extra Force abilities, but you never saw Luke like stop a lightsaber with his hand powers. I thought that kind of shit was pretty cool too.
Yeah. Well, and Rey did something that I'd been wanting Force users to do for the longest time, which is be able to take an entire ship out of the air and be able to slam it down or do whatever he wanted to do with it. Of course, that's the big scene where she and Kylo are both like, you know, doing that Harry Potter shit where it's like, you know,
I thought of Yoda and what's his
Dooku.
Nuts?
Dooku,
yeah.
But I've always wondered that because, like, you know, there's so many in the original trilogy where Darth Vader watches the Millennium Falcon just fly off and he's just like sitting there like, well, I'm helpless. I can't do anything about this. You know? And I'm sitting there thinking, well, don't you have the Force? Can't you at least try to get it to, like, you know, come back somehow? I don't know.
I like me some Daisy Ridley, and some Rey, and I love the interaction with Kylo and Adam Driver, and I am fine with the death of Kylo turning into the rebirth of Ben Solo. It's pedantic and it's not really well thought out, but I got it on an emotional level, and I think that's a good way to off one character and bring the essence of that character back without redeeming Kylo Ren himself.
But going back to what Dave was saying about how this movie is basically Return of the Jedi, that's Return of the Jedi. That's Darth Vader deciding to help Luke at the end of this. And you know, it's the same thing. I'm bad, now I'm good.
No, I agree. And I think they did it in a smarter way or a more nuanced way than what Return of the Jedi did. Because in Return of the Jedi, it's Vader deciding, okay, I'm gonna pick this guy up and fucking like launch him down a launcher chute. But in this one, like, it's a whole process of not only does he literally die and she's got to use her Force power to bring him back, he has the interaction with Daddy Solo,
his dad,
with Daddy Solo, and then Chuck the lightsaber.
Don't just gloss over that shit. Ooh. How did that happen?
It's a memory. It's not a force
it's
ghost.
It's not a force ghost.
It's a memory?
Yes. Yeah. They literally say, you know, this is not real. This is a memory.
Who says?
I think both of them do.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So they're...
So he's having an imaginary conversation with his dad.
Yeah, basically. But when you throw in...
He's coming to terms with...
When you throw in that they can talk to ghosts and then somebody like that shows up,
you're
that's
saying,
confusing the
yeah,
issue.
You're saying it's like Kevin Costner in Man of Steel when
yes.
he goes up onto the mountain and well, talks to his dad?
No, it's Kevin Costner in Batman v Superman, which was also written by Chris Terrio, who wrote this movie. No, seriously.
Yeah,
I mean, it's the exact same thing.
Jesus. When Han Solo walked up, I think that was the moment I knew these movies aren't for me anymore. Like, I just, that was too fan servicey for me.
Yeah, yeah.
That was very, very fan servicey. Yeah.
Although, the biggest fan service moment of the entire fucking trilogy is when they give that fucking medal to Chewie.
Yep.
And I would have given $1 million if he'd have turned and chucked it in the woods like Luke did with a lightsaber.
I turned to Jonathan and I said, Kevin Smith finally got what he wanted.
He did. I've even seen some
that whole rant
that.
Thing yeah. on the Sins video,
yeah,
right? About Chewie.
Give him a medal already.
Yeah, I did not like that moment.
Yeah, I know.
The thing is, like so that. Many Star Wars fans loved things like that, and they loved Harrison Ford, and yep. they loved. You know, that's why I'm saying that the greatest strength of this movie, however nitpicky we are, is yep. that it plays off everybody's emotions.
Yeah,
you know.
But
so
you know, I
does that make it a good movie? No.
Yeah, that's the thing. The Star Wars will never grow out of this. This is why I did like Last Jedi more often than I liked it more than I hated certain parts of it. Like again, take the casino fucking planet out.
Canto Bight, yeah.
Yeah. But like it seems like Star Wars fans are always going to want the original trilogy in their movies mm-hmm. every single time. They want the same exact things happening, the characters making the same choices, the, you know, just with a different facade, I guess.
They
want
to be spoon-fed the same shit and then complain that Star Wars doesn't
and
try anything new.
That's why it should be out of their hands.
You're exactly right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're obviously generalizing because I think all of us are Star Wars fans, but mm-hmm. we're not necessarily fitting into this group. But I think they either want it to be exactly like the original so they can complain that it ever changes,
mm-hmm.
or they want it to change so they can complain it's not like the original.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're definitely generalizing because I love it both. Well, I really like it both ways.
I like it both
ways,
too.
I loved Force Awakens. I think that's my favorite. I think I've said that. It's my favorite Star Wars movie overall. Last Jedi, I was fine with. In fact, I really love the subversive elements of Let the Past Die and stuff like that, just what you said.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also fine with the fan servicey things that they're trying to polish my knob with
so
in this one.
You're just easy to please.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. That's fine.
I work for CinemaSins.
Well, and obviously the audience seems to love it, at least on the Rotten Tomatoes mm-hmm. score, and, you know, got middling reviews, but yeah, well, not for me anymore.
Yeah, I'm easy to please when it comes to Star Wars. It's interesting because... you know, a movie like Uncut Gems that's getting all this critical praise I did not like,
mm-hmm.
but something as just kind of mindless entertainment as The Rise of Skywalker.
Sure. When the Millennium Falcon went down, I got total Starship Enterprise vibes because you know how
oh, yeah.
JJ wrecked that ship in...
When it went down on Endor?
Whatever the fuck. No, it was the Endor world.
Yeah, yeah.
But it like fucking it shows you like all the mud tracks behind
yeah,
where it's
skidding.
Show
the crash, but it showed
right,
the aftermath.
Right,
of it. Yeah.
And then they also somehow get it working perfectly again yeah, after that. But when I saw it sitting there, I was like, oh, Starship Enterprise.
Yeah, yeah.
This,
that before.
This I think this movie above all may show that maybe nobody. I mean, maybe this is a really outlandish statement, and I don't totally believe it. I'm just saying it may not matter who directs a Star Wars movie. There's always going to be people who get pissed off about something. And I was sitting there thinking after that one, like, what if we got all the Star Wars fans in the world, people who consider themselves like they write, they read the books, they play the games, they live Star Wars and all that. What if we got them to crowdsource a Star Wars movie? Yeah, write, direct, all that. Give them all the resources.
Oh, God.
Would they be able to make a movie that that other Star Wars fans would be
excited
about?
They would green light The Adventures of R2 and C-3PO if you gave them the power.
You're right.
And I would not watch that
film. I would not either. But like if you gave them the directive to come up with a Skywalker saga movie, and you said, here's what you're working with, would they be able to make something that's better than what we have seen?
It would probably be Rise of Skywalker is what we'd end up with. A mixture of trying to make sense with a story and play fan service.
Well, it was almost the most Star Wars-y film ever.
It almost is.
Yeah.
It almost is.
Yeah. And
to its benefit and its detriment.
Yeah.
Yeah. And forget the fact that if you crowdsourced it, like, there would be massive disagreements within the Star Wars fan universe about how things should go and how, you know, we shit on George Lucas for his prequels. We shit on Rian Johnson trying to take it a different way. We shit on J.J. Abrams after. I mean, who's going to make a Star Wars? Everybody's going to be
John,
like,
Favreau.
There you go. Mandalorian. Mandalorian.
Did you like that series? Did you like that series?
Yeah, I haven't seen the last episode yet, but it's good. I don't understand everybody's jumping on it like it's the best thing ever.
No, I don't understand it either. I think it's reductive, honestly. I like it. I enjoy it. It's reductive Star Wars.
Yeah. I just kind of like, I enjoy it for what it is, but Baby Yoda, man, people have jumped all over that Baby Yoda thing.
And
they make that seem to be the reason to push this over, like in Breaking Bad territory. and I would love to see a Star Wars Breaking Bad, though.
Oh, that'd be pretty cool.
It'd be pretty badass. But anyway, yeah. So what are we grading this?
Oh, Jesus. Fuck. I don't even know.
I'm at a B+.
Why is that funny?
I don't know.
I was trying to figure out the pun. Yeah, because Ray, like, bees.
I'm telling you, you know, what we shit on mostly for the Lucas stuff, especially the prequels, is the wooden dialogue, the wooden performances, and stuff like that.
No, you don't.
You don't get that in this trilogy.
Oh, I agree. But performances are great across all three of these movies.
Yeah,
I think.
I really like seeing all three of them together, the Finn, Poe, Ray thing. The Ray, Poe, Ray.
I don't need them to tell me every 3 seconds that they're friends and they're like family and they have hope and they're going to do it together.
Yeah.
Like,
well, that's true.
You could just show me them on film doing it together.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of having Poe go, we'll do it together.
We're family.
Like a Fast and Furious movie.
Yeah. So, yeah, I totally understand the criticisms. I agree with the criticisms. This one hit me in the feels. The next time I watch it, it will probably be like your third time. It'll be like, hey.
You're going to be more analytical about it.
Yeah, yeah. But luckily, it caught me the right way on both viewings.
All right.
I'm going to go with a B-. It's like I said, I walked out of that going, that was good.
Yeah.
And that's what a B- is.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Probably just a solid B.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, it works on an emotional level more than it does anything else. I was entertained. I enjoyed it. It was the most Star Wars-y film out of the trilogy. Didn't like it as much as Last Jedi. Not sure. I think Force Awakens still might be better than this one. But I enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing's as good as Rogue One.
I wonder what. This is something that I'm hearing from a lot of people these days.
Me too.
Rogue One is the best one.
I can't get enough of Rogue One, but that's a topic for another time.
I'm gonna have to give that another look because I watch it in theaters. We send it, and I was like, I mean, again, it was a B- probably for me on that one as well. I don't get it.
Gotten better with repeated viewings for me. It just keeps getting better and better and better. But solid B for me.
But it does have Donnie Yen in it.
Oh,
that always elevates a
movie. Thought you were about to say football in the groin.
It also has football in the groin. Mm-hmm. I wish I could remember what I gave Last Jedi because I want to give this movie a slightly better grade by a half a letter grade. But I don't remember what I gave The Last Jedi, and right now I feel like giving this movie a C+. So if I'm inconsistent, sue me. I think what bothered me when I watched Last Jedi doesn't bother me as much anymore, but I still don't really love that movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember what I gave it. I probably gave it like a B-, and now I'm a hypocrite. But I'm going down into the C's, baby. C+.
Yeah.
C².
Do you think you would have a better opinion? It's hard to speculate. Do you think you'd have a different opinion if it hadn't been so spoiled for you? Because it was spoiled multiple times over, right?
It was. Before I saw the movie, I knew everything. I knew
Oh, shit.
That she healed him and then he healed her, but it killed him. I knew she defeated Palpatine by directing his own shit back at him. I knew she had a yellow lightsaber at the end and called herself Skywalker.
You're on Reddit too much.
Well, it's they're very sneaky. Like, yeah. You're right. But if I see, I don't get very many direct messages on Reddit. So I didn't read spoilers. They were sent to my direct message box. I click on it.
Like,
within
God
the first
it.
Sentence, Rey is a Palpatine. Fuck.
Yeah.
I probably would have enjoyed it a little more, but I still would have groaned at Han Solo. I still would have groaned twice as hard at fucking Chewie getting metal.
Yeah, the surprises here really aren't what's compelling to the thing.
What about when General Hux said, "I'm the spy"?
Yeah.
I thought that was fucking hilarious, man. I think his character has been underrated throughout the whole thing. From the first time when he's all self-serious and everything, and Poe's just like undercutting him. Basically.
I did love how they used Captain Phasma in this movie.
Yeah, really. The best use of her by far. I really liked the little Dio droid, too.
That was one of my problems, is that you got BB-8, awesome. Then you introduce this new conehead droid who's hilarious and keeps saying hi to everybody. Why do you give me so much fucking C-3PO? Like, he hasn't been charming for me in 6 movies.
I know, but wasn't this C-3PO the best C-3PO you've seen?
Of the newest movies, yes.
Yeah.
But only because they wiped his memory and they played around with that a little bit. But he's still on screen expositing for too much. And R2 has like a scene and a half.
I would have liked to have seen more evil 3PO. That would have been awesome.
Yes. I think that would have been very cool.
Yeah.
He goes rogue. Like, all of a sudden, he just pulls the shit out. And he's gone.
Oh, that would have been badass.
That would have been awesome. He's still walking at his pace, but he's really badass.
Exactly. Don't tell me, Star Wars fans, you wouldn't like that shit. That would have been fucking amazing.
Well, speaking of R2, I think this trilogy's greatest crime is that R2 was sorely underused in all three of these movies.
I agree. Conversely, 3PO is overused in all three of these movies. Yeah. And I just wish they would have balanced that out more.
Yeah, it's like they got BB-8 and they were like, what do we do with this R2?
Yeah, R2's not cute anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
It's like the Olsen twins.
I was looking for that. I was looking for it. I knew it was there. Just hanging.
Poor Mary Kate. Yeah. Poor Ashley.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, there seems to be like a ton more to say about this, but I think we said what we need to say. What did you think of Rise of the Skywalker?
Nailed it.
We all know that's what you want to call it. What did you think of The Rise of Skywalker? Is this the tits for you guys? Is this okay? Like we're saying, go ahead and go to Sincast presented by CinemaSins on Facebook and tell us about it. We also have the CinemaSins Twitter, Music Video Sins Twitter. We're on Discord. If you want to get on Discord, there's a link on that aforementioned Reddit page on the right side. You can also go to Facebook and get a link from me on private messages. We're also on SoundCloud. There are many places to go and talk about this episode. Thank you, Dave, for showing up and giving us your Star Wars knowledge.
Thank you.
We definitely would have been lost in several spaces if you hadn't been here. But that'll do it for this mini-pod.
Reggie-pod!
It's Chris Atkinson, Jeremy Scott, Barrett Scher, and Dave Irwin. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Comment on our episodes on our SoundCloud page. Check us out on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Reddit. And be sure to visit CinemaSins.com.
Was on a big Miley Cyrus trip yesterday.
Oh yeah,
she listened to it because we were in Dollywood, and so we're in Dolly Country, whatever. And so on the way back, she was reading about Dolly Parton, how she's the godmother of Miley Cyrus, and so that led her to start listening to a bunch of Miley Cyrus
stuff. I've never ugly cried at a movie before in my life until after watching A Hidden Life.
Wow!
Oh, this is
I didn't know anything about it.
Oh, my God.
I'll tell you what. I want to watch that Dark Water movie because it seems important. Uh-huh. But the trailer just makes it seem like
Yeah.
A civil like, action too?
Yeah.
Like he yes.
Aaron yes. Brockovich.
Mm-hmm. And he is like so over earnest.
That's what I thought about it.
Have you you've seen 1917?
Yes.
You've seen 1917.
It's good as fuck.
I may never watch it again. But yeah, I've seen it.
Oh no, I'm willing to go another round on 1917.
I might watch Holy it again, shit. But it is I mean, that movie made me legitimately anxious. Mm-hmm. Like,
then don't watch Uncut Gems.
Oh, geez. I keep hearing that is like anxiety on film.
It is.
I hated it.
That's the thing. Is like, it seems like a lot of people love it, but then people I trust are all like, oh, you liked it?
Yeah. We just did a mini pod on it.
Oh, excellent.
and I agree with everything you said.
I wouldn't recommend the movie to you.
No, I get that. I get that a movie could be great, but I might not enjoy it. But anyway, 1917 made me really anxious.
Yeah.
Naomi Watts and Tim Roth. They were in the, not Hard Candy, the other one. The funny games.
People. Funny games. Funny people playing funny games. Yeah, Chris watched every major release in 2005, and it happened to be one of the worst years.
One of the worst years ever.
Film ever. But
you're like, I saw a lot of mediocre movies.
Yeah, there were several nights at the Hollywood 27 where I was getting out of there at 3 or something, and then... one particular night where I saw 4 movies and I got out at like 5:30 or 6 o'clock the next morning. There was one night where The Island, Bad News Bears, The Devil's Rejects, and Hustle and Flow all came out.
Oh my God.
And I watched all of them I think there was an idea that maybe I shouldn't do that. And like but my fear during 2005 was if I miss one and let it go by, then I will never get a chance to watch it again.
Yeah.
And because the next few movies will be coming out. Yeah. So I always wanted to be on top of it.
Yeah.
So I watched everything that night. And I watched, I think it was, which one did I see last? I think Devil's Rejects was the last one.
I was going to say, it really depends on how you ended. Because if you ended with Hustle and Flow, I could see you walking out with a smile.
Yeah, Hustle and Flow was great.
Yeah.
And then Devil's Rejects, I was like, what the fuck? and then later, finding out people loved that movie, oh I was gosh, like, even more
so
what the fuck.
Loved with horror fans is that movie.
Yeah, don't get it.
That
part of that, like people who are I know as like big huge film buffs, that part at the end where they're running, they're driving in a car and they're playing Freebird and all that, so great. And I'm like, are you the same fucking person that I talked movies with forever?
That sounds like a Freedom Rock commercial.
Is that Jonathan? Yeah.
No, it wasn't okay. Jonathan. Although I think Jonathan does like that movie.
I think he does. That's a sturdy movie right there.
Mm-hmm.
Sturdy,
swarthy.
I always like women that were described as sturdy.
You would.
You liked women who were described as sturdy?
Yes. I am drawn to...
Or like the description?
I'm fine with the description.
Okay.
But I
means they that. Means they got nice legs, nice hips, nice ass?
Yeah, they're sturdy.
Remember that Ellen DeGeneres, Bill Pullman
movie? Maybe a little
big
for some.
You remember that Ellen DeGeneres, Bill Pullman rom-com before she'd come out?
Oh, my God.
And like in the trailer, I didn't saw the movie, but in the trailer, his mom is checking out Ellen, his new girlfriend, and says, good birthing hips. I don't know why I remember that.
Well, now I gotta look it up.
The first time I think I ever heard the childbearing hips thing as a like an attractive quality was in the movie Sergeant York. This is like, I guess,
oh
back
God.
In 1939.
I just
something.
Watched that a couple of weeks ago. It's
really?
Weird. Yeah, yeah.
Man, that's back in
crazy.
The 30s.
How in the world did you want to stumble
on
that?
It was on classic movies. Yeah. My parents, like, that's their channel.
There's a part.
So they're like, let's watch Sergeant York. Like,
there's
okay.
a part where he's missed out on his bottom land, and they go to the bar. And one of his friends is like, look at that there big woman, you know, like, you know, he's like, oh, I got those great childbearing hips and all that or some crap.
Mm. Some crap.
Yeah. Mm. I don't know.
It's Mr. Wrong,
that's
by
exactly
the way.
Mr. Wrong.
Holy fuck. Mr. Wrong.
That's a throwback.
Yeah, it is.
I don't think I ever saw
it. Yeah, that's when people thought Ellen DeGeneres might be straight.
Well, yeah, it was before she even did, I think. Some of her sitcom before she came
yeah,
out.
She
like
did.
The
first 5 seasons, I think.
That was a big deal for her to come out.
It was.
On that show.
It was.
And they were like, you know, and it was funny. Like, I think the show's ratings went super up. And then, like, right after that, it went down again because I'm like, well, now there's no surprise or something. Yeah. But like, there's a
now she's actually dating women on the show, and we don't like this.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Wow, Mr. Wrong said 7% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Now I kind of want to watch it.
I think Nick Castle directed that. The guy who did, who's the Shape in Halloween.
Oh my God.
How did you know that? That's fucked up.
Didn't he also do The Last Starfighter too?
Yeah, he did. He did do that.
Every time I think I'm smart, I sit in a room with Chris.
That's just some random useless knowledge.
He also wrote. He has a story credit on Hook.
Oh.
Nick Castle?
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Colin Trevorrow wouldn't has be a story surprised. Credit on Rise of the Skywalker. Oh, I keep wanting to put a duh in there.
I wonder what his idea was that they kept.
Probably nothing. It was probably part of his severance package that he would get a credit
we'll
on
there. Put your name on there.
Yeah.
Directed Dennis the Menace, Major Payne.
Major Payne! Hello, Major Payne.
You love Major Payne. Maybe this guy's in your wheelhouse, man. That's...